All right, now I'm going to be playing some music for you very, very shortly. When I say very shortly, roughly in a couple of minutes or so. So be ready to have your listening ears on, your musical ears on, your vocal ears on, your song ears on, because we're going to be starting something with this week's featured songs, resuming it because we got started yesterday. And I might give you a quick flashback to yesterday, just in case you weren't with us, so you can hear the song that was featured yesterday. But I definitely want you to hear the one featured today. Actually, today I'm going to feature two in one. It'll be the same song, one instrumental version, the other with the vocals. Same song, but one with the vocals, one without the vocals. All right, but before we go there, like I said, let me share with you this demonstration of power from who probably is the kindest man who ever lives. Think about the many, many times that Jesus healed. Total strangers. Most of the time. People who were total strangers. Such love. Healing. Teaching. A lot of folks would think, teaching, how's that kindness? Well, think about it now. That's a beautiful thing that our teachers do for us. When they bring their passion, their hearts, their souls to class, week after week, it doesn't matter whether we're talking elementary school, middle school, high school, college. It doesn't matter. Those teachers who are dedicated to what they're doing, and they are really working to try to help make life better for us students. That's truly a beautiful thing that they're doing week after week, year after year. That could be considered an act of kindness. Yes, they're getting paid for it. But think about this. Compare someone getting paid to teach to someone being paid to play basketball. Someone being paid to teach compared to someone being paid to play volleyball. Someone being paid to teach, someone being paid to play soccer. Any sport you can name. For the most part, the sports are all about entertainment. That's it. I'm not saying that there's no value to it. I'm simply saying it's about entertainment. Whereas teaching is about building us up. We watch a game, it doesn't matter how excited we get or how unexcited we get watching that game, and it doesn't matter how many games we watch. The intention is not to teach us. The intention is to simply entertain us. Whereas when dedicated teachers, because don't get me wrong, I know in every field, whether you're talking about ministry, whether you're talking about the medical field, whether you're talking about the academic field, it doesn't matter. You're going to find people who are there just for a paycheck. I understand that. And that's why I keep emphasizing those who are there because they're dedicated to what they do. They are there for the express purpose of building people up, helping people become better at being who they are so that down the road, they can help make life better for others in whatever ways they will. Running a successful business, you name it. And some of you are saying, that's an act of kindness. The time that goes into preparing to teach, the passion, which means the energy, the emotional, mental, spiritual energy that go into teaching. So I say that to take us here, whether the person is teaching in a secular school, a Christian school or a religious school, or whether they're teaching at a place of worship. That can be truly considered an act of kindness. And Jesus did a lot of teaching. In his teaching, he also included warnings so that people would know, hey, look, if you don't get this right, there's going to be a price to pay. A lot of people would listen to that and be so upset, whether it was coming from Jesus, one of the prophets of the Old Testament, whether it's coming from teachers and preachers of today. You give them warnings, oh, they don't want to hear that. They are upset. But really and truly, they're being done a good service. The reason they get upset is because they know they don't want to change. And the warning just upsets them more because they know they don't want to change. In fact, have every intention of remaining the same. And people who care about them will let them know, hey, look, this is going to be the price you pay if you don't change. There's going to be a cost. There will be consequences. You need to get it together. When people genuinely care about you, care about the ones that they're teaching, that they're bringing the good news to. And some people confuse gospel with happy news only, and that's not true. You go into the book of Revelation and it talks about how the angels are going to be preaching the gospel. There are certain angels, especially as we get towards the end. I'm not saying only here, but especially as we get towards the end of the book of Revelation, we're told that some angels are going to be sent out to preach the gospel to the world. And when they preach, they're going to be warning the world to repent. See, people don't see that as good news, but that is truly part of the good news. You know, people have this notion of what good news is, and all we need to do is read the scriptures closely and see what is part of gospel, what is part of good news in context. And you'll find that it is not just, hey, one day all your tears are going to be wiped away. That is good news. But that is only part of the good news. That is only part of the totality of the good news. People are really showing and doing an act of kindness when they warn us of consequences to pay for failing to get right with our Creator. Now, that said, back to the teacher. The master teacher, Jesus. Those guys, those religious leaders probably thought that they really had something on him. They had him outnumbered, that's for sure. They definitely had him outnumbered, and they were constantly on him. They were constantly on him. That bring anything to the minds of any of you listening? People of darkness, constantly, constantly, relentlessly pursuing the true people of God's kingdom. They were constantly after Jesus, not realizing that their eternal destiny revolved around the way they treated him, the way they responded to him, the way they handled him in their lives. So they kept pursuing him and pursuing him and pursuing him until finally the appointed time, the appointed day came when he would lay down his life. And they killed him because he allowed them to take his life. He laid down his life. He was dead, and they had gotten what they wanted. They had accomplished their goal. But listen, that was not the end of the story for them. For every one of them who engaged in that pursuit, for every one of them who engaged in the plotting of his death, his murder, for every one of them who saw to it that the plan was carried out and finished, every one of them who failed to finally submit to him before they died. Because see, they had to die too. There would be an appointed day for their deaths also. and the way they live in eternity is going to be determined directly by how they finally responded to Jesus before they died. If they maintain that mindset of hating him, despising him, resenting him, and never submitted to him, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The place where they have been since they died has been very, very, very unpleasant for them. And then they have to come up out of that place to stand before Jesus, this time with him sitting on a throne as supreme judge, where he will judge them, not try them, judge them for how they lived, including how they treated him when he was on this earth with them. And then they'll be thrown into the lake of fire, where they will pay for their sins eternally, including how they treated him when he was on this earth. They will pay eternally. Ladies and gentlemen, that's power. Only a person with power would lay down his life the way Jesus did, knowing he could have kept his life. He could have maintained it had he chosen to. Remember, he said, listen, if I were to call on him now, my Father would send angels. But he had already made up his mind he was going to do what he knew his Father wanted him to do, and that is to lay down his life as a sacrifice for others, so that anyone who would then place their trust in him, that he would give us eternal life, could be saved from the power and the eternal consequences of our sins. It took power to carry out that act of kindness for us, to lay down his life for us, knowing he was going to be forsaken by his Father, whom he loved dearly. That took power. It took power to make the decision and then follow through with the decision, to be stripped naked, to be hung on a cross, ridiculed, humiliated in front of however many people were standing there looking and gawking and mocking. It took power to do that, knowing that he who was hung on that cross was the creator of all those people, was directly responsible for their even being on the earth. He had created their first ancestors, Adam and Eve, and empowered them with the ability to procreate, so that these people who shouted, "Give us Barabbas," and made it clear that they wanted Jesus hung on the cross, responsible for them even being here. The power it took to not be so vindictive that with one word he just wiped them off the face of his earth, which he had created before he became a human being. That takes power. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, kindness is not to be equated with weakness. All right, we're going to be talking about that some more. In the meantime, let me give you this music. I'm going to give you the instrumental version first, because I want you to identify the song based on what you hear instrumentally. I know a lot of you are saying to yourselves, and some of you said it out loud, "I know that song. I know that song. That's." Okay, let me let you think about it. I'll be back.